To the Deuce. I'm Brad.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are at episode 8, or Acht, if we want to speak German for some reason. I thought, hey, let's do German. Acht? Acht.
Acht?
Yeah.
Acht?
Anyway, we are starting our bilingual part of our podcast.
No, the we're Ocho.
We are doing, we're going to start our comic book series with Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, right?
Shrine of the Silver Monkey.
For you 90s Nickelodeon fans. But before we get to that, I want to say thanks for listening to our podcast. We're already at episode 8, and I want to tell you about all the states that have downloaded and listened to our podcast. So thank you, Nebraska. We've got listeners in Nebraska, yeah. California, Iowa, New York, New Jersey, Ohio, Texas, Illinois. For some reason, someone in Florida is, and Kansas and Maryland. So thank you for listening to The Deuce. We really appreciate it.
Did we talk about internationally?
We didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't pull up the international.
We had
some Japan.
Yeah, last
Canada.
I checked, we have some folks in Japan. We have some friends out there.
Mm-hmm.
Canada. The UK.
The UK.
I think that was it.
The Netherlands.
Were?
Yeah, we had a hit from the Netherlands.
Oh my!
So, all you people in the Netherlands, whatever you say, however you say hi. So there we go. So it's time to... Oh, and we're going to talk about... you can actually stream Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer on most of your streaming services, including Amazon or Google Play or Fandango. And you can also listen to this podcast on Google Play. Ha, ha, ha. See what they did there. So we are going to drop the deuce on Rise of the Silver Surfer, second of the original Fantastic Four that came out in the early 2000s.
Now, just to be clear, this is the Fantastic Four series, but I might want to be careful with the original part of that.
Well, I don't want to say original. I mean, like the first one. I said 2000s.
That's yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be the one. Because Roger Corman had one. That was terrible. That didn't actually, I don't think he even made it to theaters. But he put it out. I think they did it, let him do it as like a placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just tragic. So this was the first actual production where it got serious money behind it
right.
And got theatrical release.
Right. Right.
Yes. But if you can find the Corman one, watch it. Because it will make you appreciate this series
so much more. So you have watched it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, including, like, at the end, there's a scene where Mr. Fantastic's arm comes out of a limo, like, sky, like, the window in the roof, the moon
right,
roof.
Right, the moon roof.
Yeah,
whatever.
And it comes out, and this big, long arm, and it just starts, like, it's on a slinky arm, so it just, like, waves back and forth and, like, waves as they drive away. It's the dumbest thing.
That's weird.
And the only thing that was good about that one was the Doctor Doom was reasonably...
Really?
You know, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I only saw the original, I want to say not the original,
yeah.
But the first Fantastic Four in 2004, I think it was.
Yes.
Around there. I saw that once, so I haven't really watched it since. And this was the first time I've seen this movie, and this is what, maybe the second or third time that you've seen this movie?
That I've seen this
yeah.
one? Oh, I've seen it a handful of times.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's every once in a while, I would get the itch and go back and watch the two of these.
And
so.
You are our comic book. Between me and you, you know comic books
oh,
a lot
yeah.
better than me.
Yeah, no.
So I'm gonna lean on you in these next couple. You know, just like I knew a lot about baseball, those last
well,
ones.
Well, yeah, I had to rely on you for those.
Yeah, all those Kirby Puckett references.
Daryl Strawberry.
I did not even say Daryl Strawberry. All right. So we open in space, right?
Yep.
Where there's a planet that explodes.
Yeah, well,
right?
it's like slowly draining of color right. and turning gray, and all of a sudden it's getting fire and cracking apart. And we see it like, basically it's kind of enveloped in this cloud.
Yeah.
And then it just starts basically exploding as the cloud is floating away.
Right. And then the credits start rolling through.
And we see a streak of light.
Yeah, something shoots.
Yeah.
The streak of light comes out, and something shoots to Earth.
Yep.
And we're in Japan, and Japan freezes. Like, there's a boat in Japan.
Man falls overboard, and they go to save him, and they realize that he's laying on... Right. Which is still, like, I think it was almost worse. He fell overboard onto ice. Like, if he fell into water, that'd be one thing. But he just, like, landed smack on, like, solid ice. I think that would be just worse.
I mean, whatever, I guess. Sure. Then we hit Egypt, and the thing goes across Egypt and makes snow, and a whole bunch of snow comes down.
Yep.
Then it goes through California, where it makes all the lights go out, and there's a blackout game during a baseball game, but there's no baseball players on the field, I noticed.
Yeah, no, it's pretty empty. It's just
there's a huge crowd. You can hear the crowd. Like, when the lights go out, they're like, oh, but there's no baseball players on the field.
Right, yeah, no, it was... I don't know.
I thought it's that was
like,
kind of weird.
It's not like Men in Black, where they actually show a baseball game going on. This is just like a...
Right.
Nothing.
So then our next scene is we're at the airport, and our heroes are waiting, and where we see Reed and Sue... And they are talking about their wedding.
Right? Well, it starts off by we're kind of introduced to their wedding, the fact they're getting married.
The fact that they're getting
because married. Because there's a newscast where they're saying the FAA has delayed several flights.
Because of the blackout.
Because airports are just now kind of coming back up.
They don't know what's going on. What's going on?
All these natural disasters and all these horrible things going on in the world. But... That's nothing compared to the news of Reed Richards and Sue Storm getting married.
They're like, in other news, Reed and Sue are getting married.
It's just a footnote. The disaster is just a footnote compared to their wedding.
I was just like, what? And Reed, of course, is played by the guy from the short-lived ABC show Forever.
I'm terrible at pronouncing his name, too. I was thinking Ewan Gruffudd.
The guy from Ewan Forever. Gruffudd.
Yeah.
Whatever. You don't need to pronounce it. You can just say whatever. And Jessica Alba.
Yes.
Okay. And what's Jessica Alba doing nowadays? We didn't look that one up. But if you want to look that up, let us know.
I think she started like writing like scary mommy blogs.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Like don't vaccinize your children?
I don't know if it's about vaccinations or if it's just about like holistic stuff and organic everything.
And in the background, we see Johnny taking photos with like fans, like of course girls.
Yeah.
Ooh, Johnny.
Ben Grimm is doing. He's giving sand to kids. Like they're holding out pieces of paper, and he's rubbing his fingers together and making sand.
Like out of his.
Yeah, I guess. I keep thinking, well, does that mean your fingers are going to wear down eventually? But also, you're giving them skin, basically. It's like, can I have some of your finger skin?
Yeah, yeah. And basically, that skin that's just rock, it's just a shield. Get it? Michael Chiklis. Okay. Which, of course, he's played by Michael Chiklis. Johnny's played by... Chris Evans. Yeah.
This was his first, this is the first character.
This is the first Marvel character, too.
Yeah, well, he's played...
DC.
So he's played this for Marvel. This was the first thing, and then he played a character in the movie The Losers for DC. And then, of course, he's Captain America.
So but we see... Go ahead.
This is in the Fox
world,
and the other Fox one is world. In... of course, the Marvel Disney.
Is Sony Fox? Is that the same thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
Like, so Spider-Man did Sony.
Yes, right? Spider-Man was Sony.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the background, we see Johnny getting his picture taken, and Reed and Sue are arguing about their wedding, right?
Yes.
And then I noticed that the camera keeps flashing, and then all of a sudden, Johnny is sitting right next to Reed and Sue, and then interrupts them. I'm like, how is he taking photos with them? Like in the background? And then all of a sudden, boom, he's right there.
Yes.
And so there's some little editing problems there.
Well, I figured maybe because... So they were having a conversation about Sue being afraid that they're going to postpone the wedding again.
Yeah.
Again, basically insinuating that it's been postponed times before. And I just figured I blacked out from the boredom of this conversation, and that's how he got
it's
up there without
boring.
Me noticing.
This beginning is a little bit boring.
It's a lot of odd expository dialogue.
It's expository, but what I do like is that they don't really talk about the first movie a lot.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the last couple movies that we had reviewed, it was like always a reminder of the first mm-hmm. movie, so that was kind of nice to get that.
Yes.
So there's like an overbooked flight that they're on.
Yes.
So they have to it's just an excuse for the thing to get in the middle seat.
Yeah, they bump them to coach, and they said that's fine. And so like Sue takes her seat wherever. Mm-hmm. Reed doesn't have any place to store stuff in his overhead, so he stretches across the plane and puts it in somebody else's area. And then Thing has to, smush into the middle seat between some people.
Can I tell you, I've never liked the whole Stretch Man Armstrong thing. I've never gotten it. I've never liked that as a hero. That's why these movies always turn me off. Because I'm like, ugh, that's all it is that you're stretching?
Well, not a lot of people have it, but, you know, I think that Marvel in particular, actually a lot of places in particular, they do a really good job of being like, he's not just stretching and whipping around. They do I remember when I was a kid seeing a lot more of him like wrapping around somebody and then like holding their arms back while other people hit them.
In the comic book, though. Yeah. Like the beginning of this movie, they're not really saving anyone. They're just like, you know.
No, they're just, and they are.
They're just using their powers kind of at their
they're continuously abusing their powers in the first, it's like they're only using their powers for like personal gain whatever at the beginning of it. But no, I think like in the comics it's such a weird power and they do it pretty well, and Marvel and DC both do it pretty well with certain characters. So
where are they going on the airplane? Are they going back home?
Or? Yeah, they're going back.
Where were they?
From, I don't know. Right. They were doing something. They were stopping.
Why do we have to start the movie like that? That seems kind of odd that we had to start the movie like somewhere. I don't know.
They have to talk about the airplane.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they had to do the.
Oh, yeah. They don't have an airplane. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their goofy gags about whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Johnny
we gotta
says,
pay for those special effects.
Johnny says that he does not fly coach, and so he abuses his power. He just flies along with the plane as the Human Torch.
That's true. You know who also doesn't fly coach? Craig T. Nelson.
you were way more tickled at that.
I don't know why. I love that. I love that joke.
I wrote.
It was in The Incredibles, by the way. Craig T. Nelson was
yes,
the voice.
He was.
Of the there you go.
There you go. I put the Fantastic Four are being terrible on this flight. I'd like to see how United deals with them.
Yeah. And so the Human Torch flies on the outside of the plane and follows them. So flash to a news screen where it says, "Well, we ruled out global warming. What is going on? ? We need to answer these questions. In other news, though, it's the wedding of the century.
Yeah.
Sue and Reed."
And like, it's so ridiculous because they're like, they said it could be a volcano, which made no sense to me, but that it would like flash freeze everything,
yeah,
but whatever.
Right.
And they said, some are even suggesting that the hand of God is involved, or that this is the hand of God at work. And
in
I
other
went,
news.
Yeah. But again, we've now gone to the God option.
Nah. Can we go back to the disaster happening?
Reed and Sue.
Whatever.
And so they're talking about the wedding again.
So the next scene is they're in their lab. They made it. Yeah. They made it back to the Baxter Building, which is just kind of like a low rent in, like Iron Man building, right?
But they actually like in the comic it has like a giant four on it. That's
right.
How you know
right.
where they live.
Right.
But in this, it's
but
just
it
like a
me
high
of
rise.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Iron Man. Like
yeah,
it's a very like low rent.
Yeah, like it doesn't have a giant like. Yeah, it's not swanky like that.
Right, right. There's just beakers and you know TVs
right.
everywhere.
Right.
The Human Torch loves endorsements. He shows them new you know uniforms that look like NASCAR.
Yeah.
And spit all over him, like with the advertisements everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Cause he thinks they could be profitable. And Reed continues to abuse his powers by texting ultra fast by making additional thumbs on his hand.
Yeah, which I thought, I didn't know what that was. I just was all like, boom, boom, boom. So he's going real fast by kind of doing that with like his thumbs. So what Reed figures out what happened, like what's been going on, like it's a cosmic reaction or whatever.
Yeah, he starts understanding that it's very similar to the cosmic energy that turned them.
Yeah.
And so he's been working on it, kind of tracking it.
But Johnny doesn't care, and he just wants to take him to a bachelor party.
Yep, Johnny wants a bachelor party. Reed doesn't want one, but Johnny basically, Reed had promised no more science, no more super science until, you know, after the wedding, because they always get into hijinks. And so Johnny's like, well, I'll tell my sister if you don't have a bachelor party. So
right. Sure, whatever. So the flash of light is going through like different cities. It goes through this one city, and there's Dr. Doom in a box.
It flies by Latveria.
Oh, Latveria,
which is where Dr. Doom is from.
Okay.
This is the one part where you pays to understand. Yeah,
yeah.
It goes to the back of this room, and Dr. Doom is like frozen back from where he would have been at the end of the first movie.
Okay.
In this box, like kind of melted into a statue. So he's at the back of this room, and as the flash had gone by, whatever it was happened, whatever reaction this was, absorbing energy or whatever the heck was happening.
Sorry, and I'm still laughing at the Craig T. Nelson joke.
And all of a sudden, Dr. Doom kind of reanimates and somehow like unmelts. You can see his eyes again, and he's okay in some fashion.
Yeah, all that it didn't play well for me. It was a short scene, but
yeah, I wonder if they wrote it and then we're like, no, he was stuck at the back of the line. They were trying to figure out how to get him back.
So the military people stormed. There's military people that stormed the Baxter Building.
Yeah,
and they want to ask Reed some questions.
Yeah. It's, go ahead. Andre Brower as
General
Hager.
Brower, yeah.
As General Hager.
Yes.
And Frankie Ray, who's a comic book character.
Okay. Is the female.
Yes, okay. she's the female soldier.
Okay.
She actually, in the comics, becomes another Herald of Galactus called Nova.
Okay.
So she ends up having superpowers, too.
She's a supernova.
Yes.
Or just a Nova.
Well, her name's just Nova.
Okay, yeah.
But
she named after that PBS show?
Yes.
Well, Reading Rainbow.
She rides a book instead of a surfboard.
There's other surfboards that you could read. But why take my word for it?
She rides a PBS tote bag.
She donated. She wants to watch the Red Green Show. Is that his name? The Red Green Show?
Yes.
Yeah, she wants to watch that shit.
So Thing, Human Torch, and Mr. Fantastic, in the meantime, go to this incredibly generic club, and women are just all over Reed and Johnny, and Thing goes and sits at the bar to get some drinks with Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
And of course, Reed, in the meantime, he's explaining the Big Bang. And using his hands, showing like how the explosion happens and whatever, just kind of, you know, talking about science, but still stretching whenever he gets the chance. And then a generic club song comes on.
Right.
And they're like, we have to dance. So then he uses his powers to dance like a complete idiot.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's a pretty goofy dance. Like, yeah. I would, and maybe we'll put that up there. What dance was worse, the one from the Spider-Man movies that Tobey Maguire does?
Oh, man,
or this
I was
going
to say the movie Michael with John Travolta. But go ahead, where he dances like an angel, but whatever, go ahead.
But he's dancing, and it is pretty great.
It's like pretty awful.
He, like, corkscrews up, and then he kicks one leg forward and one back, and then he does, like, this.
But again, they're not using their superpowers to save it or do anything.
They still are just.
I don't even care if there's a goddamn fucking like tree, or like a cat in a tree. Go save the cat in a tree. I don't care. But instead, you're like, hey, I'm gonna spin these ladies around.
Yes, and So Sue shows up and gets mad. What appears to be mad at him for being out with the ladies dancing.
Like, she comes in with the military.
Yes, she does. You know, she actually should be more mad about how he's dancing than anything, really. In public, at least. But yeah, she shows up with the military, and they go to meet with them. Basically, General Hager, Frankie Ray, they end up explaining that these giant pits are showing up all over the world. Like, big, like 200 meters across. They're all over the place. And they want him to build a device that could track it for them. Reed says no, because he's getting married. He's not going to have his wedding fall through.
Go call
again.
Jeff Wagner.
Yeah, go call PhD. Jeff Wagner, PhD. That has to be somebody working with the movie, I would think, or like a writer's friend or...
I don't know.
If it is a character, I am not thinking of who it is off the top of my head.
That's fine. No.
So any of our listeners, if you know who Jack Wagner is...
No, Jeff Wagner.
Jeff Wagner, excuse me.
No. Jack Wagner... Isn't Jack Wagner on General Hospital? Yeah, write in. Write in on that one. I don't know. Jack Wagner is on a soap opera. Swear to you.
Oh, maybe.
But, hey, whatever. So the go ahead. I can't help, I'm getting married, he says. And then what's his face? Human Torch is flirting with the female officer.
Yeah, with Frankie.
Frankie, as they're all leaving, he's flirting with her. Ha ha. Ooh, would you like to go on a date? And she's like, no.
Yeah, she is not having any of it. So,
then we see Dr. Doom again, right?
Yes. So they go forward to back to Latveria. And so and this is another thing where it's like, I think they couldn't figure out how to get him back in the game. So in Latveria, so they somehow found him in his crate in the very back of like whatever room it was. Like they have him out of there and they're cutting the metal off of him that melted to him. So they're cutting it off of him and his mask and everything. And as soon as they get it off, the guy who cut it off of him, Dr. Doom just blasts him for whatever reason, which is, it's kind of, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. But at the same time, I thought, you know what? That's Dr. Doom. He's just one of those guys where, you know, if you just look at him the wrong way, Dr. Doom's going to mess you up.
Yeah. And the next thing happens where Johnny catches Reed making the sensor for the military, even though he said he wasn't going to. He says he is, and he's like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, Ben and Johnny both catch him.
Because you have the wedding of the century to prepare for.
And then
the wedding of the century.
And then Johnny also makes sure that he knows if Sue catches you, you're going to get an invisible kick to the balls.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the day of the wedding.
Again, wedding of the century.
The day of the wedding of the century. And the guests are showing up, and this is where things get the wrong type of meta for me, because Stan Lee himself makes a cameo as Stan Lee.
Yes.
Like, he says, oh, no, I'm here for the wedding. You're not on the list. What's your name? Stan Lee. And I'm like, bullshit, you're not Stan Lee. You're going to the fictional, like, wedding of these fictional people that you made up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you created for a comic book?
Yeah.
That's the wrong kind of meta. I think they screwed up on that cameo. And wasn't he someone else in the first movie?
Yeah, in the first movie he was Willie Lumpkin.
Yeah,
Willie
just
Lumpkin
keep him like that. Don't make him Stan Lee.
Yeah.
That was stupid. I didn't like that. But
we
have to have Stan Lee and everything, because he's Where's Waldo, these Marvel movies.
Well, and really, I'm sorry, but it was... Stan Lee was just kind of the writer with it. Jack Kirby was another big part.
Yeah.
And
like,
yeah. Yeah.
So it's the day of the wedding, and Alicia Masters is there talking to Sue, played by Kerry Washington, in the first movie.
Yep.
So we keep her, of course, the blind. She's the maid of honor, and she's Ben's girlfriend, which I couldn't remember because I forget details like that, but that's just me.
Fun fact. Alicia in the comics, her dad is also a supervillain called the Puppet Master.
That's a scandal in itself, isn't it?
Oh, also, I'd like to point out that Sue, at the very end of this discussion, figures out she has a zit on her forehead and uses her incredible universe-altering powers to conceal her zit.
Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. Again, not using our powers for anything. Okay. And it gets better. Like, I'm just saying, this first part of this movie is kind of slow. And it's their wedding, and she says, it's your wedding, and you're still working on that censor, because they're up at the altar getting married.
Well,
and like
Reed, so Reed is finishing the device.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And Ben goes and finds him, and is like, hey, you know, we need to get going here. And Reed gets it up and running, tells Andre Brower it's on, and then says, all right, let's go. And he's like, hey, I'm getting married. And then starts kind of like getting woozy and faint, and so he's over the place.
Yeah.
And they have to go get him ready.
He's like, oh, cold feet. He got cold feet, but really his feet are dragging.
Yeah, his feet were like,
and it feels over. Like his feet are going on forever. Because he was in that show forever.
I know what he was in.
I'm just saying. His arm can go forever.
I know.
I don't know why I have to explain my jokes to you.
What? What do you have to explain?
I'm just saying. So it's the wedding, and
let's stop before the wedding. Ben and Johnny are having this conversation.
No, that's where I was going.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, yeah. Go
okay.
ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So Ben and Johnny are having this conversation, and they're like, he's like, Johnny's picking on Ben in front of Alicia. And she kind of takes off, and then he says, Johnny starts talking to Ben about how he and Alicia have sex. He's curious about this.
Yeah.
And Ben's like, none of your business.
Yeah.
And you know, Ben is really put off by this. Johnny says the reason he's asking is because he's worried that one day he'll wake up and hear she was killed in a rock slide. And I was, I actually was just more disappointed they didn't make some sort of an eruption joke.
No. Well, nope. You're not going to laugh at my forever joke. I'm not going to laugh at your
eruption. Come on.
Hard on. A rock hard on. Maybe, I don't know. So it's the wedding, and alerts keep going off on his phone because this reactor that he has is connected to his phone, right?
Yes.
And he's like, Reed's like, hurry up, let's speed up the wedding. And
which is being presided over by Brian Posehn, comedian.
Canadian?
Is that no, comedian.
Oh, I thought you said Canadian. Is he Canadian?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Did he, was he in the community? Was he the Meow Meow Beans guy?
Yeah, he was one of the Meow Meow.
Because I was like, they get married by the Meow Meow Beans guy. That's what I wrote. I don't know why. So the alert goes off, and Reed says, speed up the wedding. But then a helicopter crashes into the party.
Well,
because
you see all the lights going. So yeah, you see the flashlight come up, and all the city just starts losing power like that California city did.
Right.
When it does that, the helicopter starts. This helicopter that was basically doing some paparazzi
thing. Like a paparazzi thing.
It starts losing juice and falling into the wedding. So everybody had run by this point. But the thing is basically kind of cockeyed going across the rooftop where they're being married and with blades just coming at people. So 30 minutes into the movie, we finally see them do something heroic with their powers.
Oh, they're finally saving people.
Yeah.
Which is good. Whatever.
Yeah, Reed saves someone by just, you know, wrapping him up and pulling him out of the way of the blades. Invisible Woman catches the helicopter, but if she catches it, because it's still got the momentum, the back rotor starts, spinning around.
True, and she does that all while her zit is still covered up.
It is.
That is
incredible
power.
Concentration.
That's a really good concentration.
And then Thing has to jump in the way to save Alicia from getting hit by the rotor blades and basically rips the tail of the helicopter off.
Yeah. We don't want her to go blind again.
Johnny chases the Silver Surfer.
Right.
They have this
30 minutes in, we finally get the silver suit.
Yeah, we finally see him. And actually, and you know, I remember when I saw this, I was surprised by the fact they show him. Johnny's chasing him. They're going towards a building. And the Silver Surfer goes through the building, like can phase through things.
Yeah, so he can phase. Is that in the comics?
I don't remember him being able to do that in the comics. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember him being able to do that. But I thought, you know what? That's cool. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Even if, like, I don't know if it could.
And
but
even
I
though
that
some of the
cool.
effects don't quite. I mean, we've developed further along with some of these effects that they use.
Right.
I still think that's a cool effect that they did.
I think that's a cool effect. Yeah, no, don't get
me
wrong.
Some of these
effects are kind of cheesy.
The Silver Surfer looks cool.
But
he still looks cool.
I agree.
It's like they tried to develop, because in the first movie, Human Torch wasn't very well defined. So in this one, I think they do a lot more of like, they probably just mo-capped Chris Evans and then just put like fiery stuff on him. It looks better than it did before, but still, like by today's standards, it's a little off. But
right, it's a little off. So he chases the Silver Surfer and finally catches up to the Silver Surfer, and then the Silver Surfer, he grabs Johnny and
by
starts
the
to
throat.
Choke him and throws him from space, and he crashes.
He takes him up into the stratosphere,
and he crashes into a desert and meets a camel.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
I mean, that's really what happens.
Yeah. But he's on his way down because he loses his powers when he's way up. And when he throws him down, he's trying to flame on again and he can't.
Yeah.
And so finally he does just enough to be able to kind of sputter in for a landing.
Right. And Johnny tells the military that he saw what looked like a man who was silver on a surfboard.
Yes.
Hence the name Silver Surfer.
And also we see a Silver Surfer going up into space and summoning Galactus.
So Andre Brower.
Yes.
Or Andrew Brower.
Andrew Brower.
Andrew Brower.
That's Jack Bauer's cousin.
He says we need to find another way to track it. So do your job and, you know, try to track it.
Yeah.
And so go ahead.
Yeah, so they basically talk about Reed apologizes to Invisible Woman for saying, "Hey, look, you know, I know I shouldn't have made that the device." It turns out the device called Silver Surfer knew he's being tracked, and so he came at them specifically, to stop it. So. Sue says, well, she's more mad. She's not mad about that. He did the right thing, but she's mad about that they're never going to have a normal life like this.
How can we raise a family like this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Ask the Incredibles. They can do it.
They did it.
Johnny falls from the building.
Yeah, trying to fly.
Trying to fly. And go ahead.
Sue runs to help him.
And they touch, and that means that they traded powers somehow.
Yeah, so the next thing you know, she's on fire. You think that he's kind of started her clothing on fire, but no, she engulfs in flames like the Human Torch and starts kind of floating up.
He yells, "Stop, drop, and roll!"
Yeah, he does. He does yell that. And so she starts floating up using his powers of because she can't fly very well yet, but she's kind of hovering up. And then Johnny is like, "I'll get her," and says, "Flame on," and he goes invisible.
Right.
And so people start bumping into him and tripping over him and everything. At that point she's kind of coming back down to the ground. Reed runs out to help them. When they touch again, they trade powers back.
Right. And this is just an excuse to get Jessica Alba naked in this movie.
Yes.
I think. Wasn't she naked in the last movie too?
Yeah, she was, I think was like in her bra and panties or something. Yeah. Like it's just their excuse.
She falls down, she loses the power of that, and then everyone's like, oh no, look at you, ha ha. You're in your birthday suit.
And she goes invisible
and Johnny has his powers back again.
So they figure out that it's because when the Silver Surfer touched him, because they have the same kind of, it's that same cosmic energy, that it destabilized Johnny's power, like Matrix or whatever. So anybody he's going to touch from their team, he'll trade powers with. So Thing was like, wow, okay, cool. So he comes up and touches him, and then they trade powers. So then now Michael Chiklis is back, and he can just turn the fire on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Chris Evans, like, looking like the Thing,
mm-hmm.
but with weird hair.
Yeah.
And giant horse teeth.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of awkward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then they touch again, and then they get their powers back.
Yes.
So then Reed and Sue are talking about giving up the superhero lifestyle.
Yeah.
After they get married. And Johnny overhears them.
Yes.
And Johnny doesn't like that and decides to tell Ben that.
And the reason that they have this conversation is because they're sitting there. And again, the news is like,
yeah,
the wedding that fell apart. And no, then they're talking about like,
just Sue naked in the street and her other fashion foibles.
Yeah, like, I'm like, are there no other celebrities in your world except
there are
like
no other celebrities.
Superhero scientists?
Except Stan Lee and that Jeff Baker guy, PhD.
Jeff Baker? Jeff.
Whatever. Whacker guy, whatever his name is.
Jeff Whacker? Jeff Tweedy.
Jeff Tweedy, PhD. Go get Jeff Tweedy, PhD. He'll write a song about it. So they flash to Greenland, and a helicopter lands, and Dr. Doom and the Silver Surfer meet up with each other.
Yes. Right? So he, because they showed a bit earlier where Doom is also tracking.
Yeah.
The Silver Surfer, so he meets with them and says they could be partners and they could share this power. Silver Surfer's like, bitch ain't having it.
I don't think he says it like that. I think he says, all you need to know is it's the end or something like that.
He's like, the end is coming
the
or
end
something.
Is coming.
And then he turns his
bitches.
Back to him.
And then he says, bitches, and then drops the mic.
He turns his back to him and just throwing major shade and just like starts kind of floating away from Dr. Doom, who gets pissed off and then blasts him in the back like a true villain, just shoots him in the back. but he turns around, Silver Surfer turns around and blasts Dr. Doom so hard. It looks like he's coming apart into like molecules.
Oh, yeah.
But
he
flies backwards and through a glacier. And when he lands and kind of like wakes up, he like, cause he's still kind of hamburger faced and like his skin's all messed up from the first movie. You start seeing his skin and everything healing again.
Oh yeah.
So he's turning back. That's how they explain. Oh, he's going to turn back to a human face.
Episode 8, where we coined the term hamburger face.
He's got serious hamburger face. I don't know
why it looked like there was a camera there. When I said that. Episode 8.
Because there should be.
There should be.
So Reed discovers where the Silver Surfer goes. Or wherever the Silver Surfer goes.
8 days later.
Yeah, 8 days later, the planet dies. He, like, tracks all these other planets that have gone, like, barren or whatever. With just devoid of life. And so he's like, oh, man, you know, he's been here, so... We need to right. track all these pits, wherever he shows up, these pits form. So let's see if we can determine where the next one will be. And they calculate the next one is going to be in London.
Brad Pitt.
Oh.
Okay.
Michael Pitt.
Michael Pitt. Brad Pitt. Cherry Pitts.
So they go to London. So... you see in the Thames, a pit forms, starts forming in the Thames, and the water starts kind of draining out, and the Silver Surfer rises up out of it. The Ferris wheel there starts breaking.
It breaks.
Breaks and starts falling over.
And, of course, the heroes have to save the day.
Right, you gotta. So they come out there, and it was, you know, the standard Fantastic Four team thing. Which I always think in this movie they do a good job of like coordinating what they're doing for the most part.
Yeah.
Like Invisible Woman catches the thing, like kind of like stops it from tipping over. Thing grabs it and kind of lifts it up. And then Mr. Fantastic wraps all around the spokes of it and is trying to pull it back into place.
Human Torch screws everything up.
So that Johnny can like weld it back into place. But he sees a Silver Surfer and decides to go just straight after him. Well, as he's going, a cable comes by and, like, whips him. So he goes off course and he hits Mr. Fantastic, who's all stretched out.
Yeah.
and they switch powers.
Oh,
so,
no.
So he starts recoiling and turning and bursting into flames. Johnny just lands on the sidewalk like a loogie and just lays there like a blob. And Mr. Fantastic welds the Ferris wheel into place.
Yeah, so everyone's safe and gets off the Ferris wheel.
So, and then he trades powers back with him and tells Johnny to stay away for everybody else's safety.
Andre Brower says, "What the hell was that?"
Yes. Gets extra mad.
Gets extra mad. Go ahead.
So, basically, General Hager keeps commenting that they end up going to the U.S. Embassy.
Yeah.
General Hager continues to, he basically just talking about how this whole ordeal was a shit show, and that he's bringing in some new help.
I think, can I repeat, I say this for a second? I think Reed says, "Next time will be better." And then he says, Andre Brower says, "There won't be a next time. But when there is, I'm going to bring help for you." So I'm like, what does that mean? There isn't going to be a next time, but next time, here's some help for you for the next time.
Yeah, it was a little...
That didn't make sense.
It was a little awkward.
That was a little awkward.
So he brings in a newly healed up Victor Von Doom. So Dr. Doom is there to help. Dr. Doom, of course, is like, "I don't like any of you." As just being, his bitchy self.
The Thing kind of gets mad at him and...
Slams him into the wall. Yeah. Dr. Doom actually recorded his confrontation with the Surfer.
Mm-hmm. Somehow.
Yeah, he has a camera there somewhere.
In the helicopter? I don't know how he did that, but whatever.
He said he had a camera there.
Okay.
So, I don't know, GoPro on a tree or something.
Okay.
But he says he shows on the video, on the replay, that... Silver Surfer's power actually comes from his board, and they need to separate him from it to depower him.
Hmm.
So, they're going to come up with a plan together, him and Mr. Fantastic.
You should never separate a surfer from his board.
It's true.
Never.
Never. So, Ben and Johnny sit in a pub, talking about what they would do if this was their last day on Earth, and, I think it's like Thing says he'd go and be with Alicia, and the Human Torch says he's all alone, because that's been his kind of like... They kind of touch on this topic, but they don't really get into it that much about like him not being alone. They do a little bit, but...
Yeah, the backstory is...
Yeah,
really
it's kind of weird.
Out.
Like, I think they were trying to do something, and they just kind of let it peter out, unfortunately, but... So, and of course, Johnny's playing darts and sets a dartboard on fire with a flaming dart accidentally.
Flaming Dart is my drag name, by the way.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please welcome to the stage, Flaming Dart.
Flaming Dart.
Hey, boys, I'm Flaming Dart.
The what? I'm sorry. They cut back to Reed having a meltdown while he's trying to figure out how to stop the Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Because he can't figure it out. Sue starts basically giving a head massage and saying, like, to feel his pulse slowing. And he realizes, hey, I'll invent a device that emits a tachyon pulse that separates the Silver Surfer from his board.
So, like, Reed and Victor are working together.
They're supposed to be, but they're not. Yeah, but they're not. Sue starts looking around for where Dr. Doom is, and she sees him working on some device, like, in the back room with a bunch of stuff that he covers up when she comes in there. So she knows he's up to something, but just kind of...
I thought it was just, like, there was a sale at Radio Shack, and he was like, "I don't want them to know the good sales I got."
No, you don't usually get that nice of stuff.
Oh, okay. You don't get anything at Radio Shack.
Nostalgia. and batteries. Johnny goes and he's walking. He's coming out of the shower, so he's in a towel. She basically says something about, like, you know, "I've read your profile. I see that you're a hothead. You know, you're a guy who almost got his team killed or hurt or whatever." Basically, he's telling him he can do better. Now, she's talking, and I know this is supposed to be like this Johnny Storm building moment, but all I could think of was between this movie and Captain America, yeah. Chris Evans, I'm pretty sure, waxed his chest.
Oh.
Or, like, because I don't think he's... Because, I mean...
Yeah. Okay, I got
it. He doesn't,
yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have all the chest hair.
No, he doesn't.
In that one, but he does here.
No, it's CGI. It's CGI.
It's CGI. That's CGI chest hair.
But yes.
I just was like, wait, but he was so shiny and
that's
whatever.
Why they didn't really fully develop that character side, because they used all that money on his CGI chest hair.
Perfect. But yeah, I was just like, I don't know why that distracted me all of a sudden. I was like, wait, did he? I don't remember. Okay. So,
so they go to the Black Forest in
yes.
Germany.
So that, yeah, they go to, yes, they go to the Black Forest. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm on top of that one. It's in Black Forest, Germany. I wrote it down.
So General Hager comes in and, like, Reed is saying, okay, here's what we need to do. And General Hager tells him, you know, no, you know, it's you're not the quarterback.
Right.
You've never done whatever.
You've never done anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
you're
tries
just
to
a bully.
Shut him down. And there's this little thing about, like, yeah, I was a good nerd, good little nerd who did his homework.
You're just
and whatever.
A quarterback.
Yeah, and he's like, but now I'm married. I'm with
Can
the
I
hot
tell
girl.
You, like,
and this
all of a sudden, like, and Andre Brower's character is like a dickhole for some reason. Like, they kind of didn't really build. Like, it just went from A to Z to me.
He, yeah, when
Do
he
you
started
know
out, and he's like, I need to speak to Dr. Richards.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, he's not here. What can I do for you? And he goes, I will need to speak with Dr. Richards.
I will need to.
You don't get that, like, and he just seems like a military guy.
Yeah,
now
right?
He's like, nyeh, like, yeah. Calling people names.
He's like, okay, whatever.
So Reed shuts him down somehow and assumes control of them putting these out. But why wouldn't you have them put these devices out anyway? They're super people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather them get injured?
Kind of.
Or they could at least defend themselves better than
yeah,
you can out there.
Yeah,
but
right, yeah. Good point.
So they get into position.
So they put them up. They put up all the pulse generators.
Yeah, right? They're getting them up there. Of course, there's this weird interlude with Thing gets his activated, and a bear shows up. And not the good kind of bear, like a forest bear.
A forest bear.
And it growls at him, and he's kind of like, oh, hey, didn't see you there, Smokey. And he's kind of trying to be friendly with this bear, and it roars at him. And he does this kind of like Three Stooges, like, wise guy kind of thing. And then roars back at it, and it runs away.
And then he's like, that's what you get, boo-boo.
Yeah.
That's what you get, boo-boo.
I'm like, what is happening?
It's and I'm like,
an
what?
Odd moment.
It doesn't work.
No.
A
it's
lot
kinda
of
weird.
Like, most of the humor that Ben has in this movie doesn't work for me.
It's, you know what, it's...
I don't know if
I
it's
think
just
it's something
dated.
You would. I think it was something that you would see in the comic.
Yeah.
But, like, it's weird. There's this weird balance. Like, Fantastic Four has those moments where they're them teasing each other or being goofy or being, like, wholesome and upstanding kind of things. And I don't know if they were trying to kind of capture that and it just didn't work
yeah,
out
like,
so great. But
from the beginning of the movie to about right here, the movie doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yep.
Is it kind of a comedy comic book movie?
Yeah.
Or is it a dramedy?
Yeah.
Or what is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't quite fulfill what it needs. And then it picks up a little bit, though.
Yes, it does.
But go ahead.
So, Sue, so now three people have gotten theirs, like, ready and up and running, like, instantly. We saw Sue get into place forever ago. But for some reason, she still hasn't activated her pulse thing, her generator. While she's doing it, the Silver Surfer shows up and basically won't let her activate it. So she starts talking, or she puts up her force field and he flies right through
it. He flies right through it.
Yep. And then he says...
Again, can he do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I don't know. He says, she asks, why is he doing this?
And
he says,
have no choice.
Yeah, I have no choice.
I have no choice of destroying your planet.
And she's like, why are you destroying us? Like, it's kind of the same question. And he says, I'm not the destroyer. So you realize that something else is coming.
Right.
So
they fire missiles at him.
Yeah, so General Hager opens fire. And it's a real subtle moment. Like, I don't think it's super noticeable at first, but... So the missile fires off, and Silver Surfer spins around, and he does that kind of, like, watch out. He kind of shifts over in front of her and puts his arm out like the, like when you're driving with somebody and you put your arm out in front of him. He kind of does that, like, stand behind me thing.
Yeah.
And gets his board up and catches the missile inside of it.
Right.
And then they are opening fire just in general at him.
I thought that was okay.
Yeah, it was cool. But it was a nice, I thought it was a nice subtle touch.
Mm-hmm.
But then Sue activates the pulse and Silver Surfer falls through his board. So he and the board are separated.
Right.
And there's this cool thing where as he comes apart from the board, he is like kind of, he loses that shiny silver aspect. He looks more like tarnished now. Like it's kind of a flat metal gray.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah. I never thought of it. It's not as shiny. It's a little dull.
Yeah, they take that off there because now
much like the script has been right now. Oh, well, I guess you're right.
So they take the board and the surfer who gets zapped by
Dr. Doom.
So they take them.
The military captures them.
Yep.
Then they go to Siberia.
Yes, they take them to Siberia, away from human population.
Oh, okay, gotcha. To question the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
Without the Fantastic Four.
Well, they take the Fantastic Four there, too, and they want to question him, so they say no, so they lock the Fantastic Four up as well. Dr. Doom, in the meantime, asks where the board is, and they say, well, it's locked away in a secure area, and you just know that he's scheming because he's, like, looking schemey, and, you know, he's rolling his neck, and the lights are flickering behind him and all that kind of stuff.
Who's the actor that plays him?
He was from Nip Tuck.
Nip Tuck, the guy from Nip Tuck?
Yeah, I can't remember what his name is off the top of my
head. Yeah, no, he always looks kind of skeezy anyway. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he always, like, plays that kind of skeez ball.
Well, and I was excited about him, and I think he does a better job in this movie.
Yeah.
In the first movie, I don't know, I thought he was being way too smarmy.
Mm.
He kind of
underplayed it in a way.
I thought he played it wrong in the last one.
No, but this one.
In this one, I got much more scheminess from him, which I was okay with.
Yeah.
And more pompousness than the last one was.
So Snooze Sue sneaks out.
Yep, Snooze Sneaks.
I couldn't say Snooze Sneaks.
Snooze Sneaks out.
Snooze Sneaks down. Snooze Sneaks out to go spy in the military.
So, yeah, so Sue sneaks out to go talk to the Silver Surfer because she wants to figure out.
To the Silver Surfer.
To the Silver Surfer.
I think we completely lost it. Eight episodes in, and I think we're crazy.
We're done. Good night, folks.
Good night. We're done. The end.
So
they save the day.
So she sneaks out to talk to him, and of course they trick it. They trick the guard. Johnny opens the door and talks to him for a minute while she gets away invisibly. And so she. Let's see. She goes and talks to him, and he says Galactus is coming.
Yeah.
And he shows her what's going on by forming a little television in his tummy.
Right.
Like this little view screen on his tummy showing like the world blowing up in a cloud. I don't remember that happening.
I think it was HD.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was high def.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw Galactus in high def through his belly.
Yeah, there you go. So he's showing her this like a Care Bear on his belly, and he says he has no choice but to serve him. She says, "How can you do this?" And he goes, "I have no choice. I have to do it to save my planet and my love." And he says that she reminds him of his lost love. So. That's why, you know, he protected her. And then we see the Galactus cloud approaching. So for those of you who are not familiar.
Yeah, please.
Galactus was designed by the king of comics, Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby.
Like the unquestioned, he was amazing. No one will touch him. He's just a master.
Okay.
And Jack Kirby had a very stylized look for how he designed characters. He, you know, did the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. He designed, like, Galactus. He designed the New Gods for DC and Thor and, like, all these other things, the Asgardians. So he's done tons of stuff. And so Jack Kirby has a very stylized look for Galactus. Big purple headpiece with these, like, kind of, like, wing pieces on the side.
Okay.
Purple and blue look. I posted a picture of it on our The Deuce page on Facebook. Yeah. So everybody could
see
it.
Which you should follow.
Yes. This is what pissed off a lot of fans, because they showed that cloud that you briefly saw at the beginning. It's moving by, and you see what looks like Galactus's headpiece, like silhouetted against Saturn, but then you just see the cloud roll by.
Okay.
So
this pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah, because
fanboys.
Because it was a Galactus. It was like Galactus was now a cloud.
I mean, it was like the nothing for me.
Yeah.
And the Neverending Story kind of. I mean, it was okay.
But you know, I have to ask, like, if a big, like, purple. If this guy showed up, you know, giant floating in space, it might have, I wonder if it would have been cool for fans, but maybe alienated your casual viewer.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I would have been like, what the?
Yeah, because it's, if you're not familiar with the comics, or if you're not, like, kind of in that comic suspension of disbelief kind of way, I it might be a little jarring. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it you know, it turned off, I think, a lot of people who were trying to be fans of it. And I personally, I was like, oh man, that sucks, because I wanted to see the actual Galactus. I get why they didn't.
Yeah.
But I think that soured it for a lot of folks.
So Sue sneaks out because she doesn't want to. No, I don't. Sue sneaks out. Sue sneaks out. Because the military is coming.
Yep.
And right?
Yeah.
And then what's Dr. Doom wants to see the board.
Yes, he wants to examine the board, and General Hager says, not without me, you're not.
Yeah.
And so they go inside there, and Victor basically blasts them with lightning, him and his Andre Brower and his flunky.
I said Doom killed about 99% of Andre Brower. Get it? 99? 99. There you go.
So he blasts him with this thing just to get him out of the way while he gets himself synced up with the board.
Yes.
Oh, except then we get a montage of him getting dressed into all his Doctor Doom gear. Like, you couldn't wait to do that until later.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on this mask and all these gloves and armor and this gigantic black cape that looks like it probably weighs about 70 pounds.
Yeah, couldn't make a pit stop there and do all that, but nope.
So he gets it all on and climbs on the board. Yeah.
Sue says we have to, you know, stop the board, right?
Yeah.
So we got to get the Silver Surfer, right? So they break, like, the thing breaks into the wall, like Kool-Aid Man style.
Yeah.
And breaks in, cool. And grabs the Silver Surfer.
Well, and before that, they get the Silver Surfer. Before that, they Dr. Doom gets on the surfboard. He blasts General Hager, and I don't understand quite what happened, but it was like I don't know if he froze him and shattered him.
Yeah, I said killed him 99%. 99, that's my 99.
Well, that's what happens then, because he gets the board and turns into Dr. Doom first.
Oh, okay.
Or turns into the Surfer Doom first.
Okay.
So they blast him. And then there's this weird moment where,
don't
like...
Don't take away my 99.
I'm not taking away your 99 joke.
Okay, I'm just saying.
So then the Fantastic Four are running down the hallway to get to the board.
Yeah.
And that's when Doom just basically blows everything up, and this big steel door flies down the hall past Johnny and Sue, and they go, oh my god, Ben? And so the thing gets smashed behind the door, basically into the wall. And so there's this comic moment where the metal door falls off, and he's just stuck in the wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they go, where's Reed? Behind him. And I was like, great. Just this awkward moment in the middle of all this.
Yeah. Again, it's like that moment where it's like, we want to throw some comedy in, and it doesn't quite work. I feel like Marvel hasn't quite well, I mean, this is Fox, too.
Yeah.
But they haven't quite figured out how to mix that humor with, like, what they're doing with the plot, with the drama. So.
Yeah. And so they that's
they
when
out.
That's when Thing is like, hey, we, you know, he busts in, like, Kool-Aid Man to go get Silver Surfer, and they say, Reed says, hey, he's going to call something so they can get to...
Right.
Track down Doom.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh. So they get to the roof, and it turns out he called the Fantasticar.
Yes.
Which is the...
That's
from
the name
the comic.
Of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the comic, it was like... it was like one main body piece, I think, and then there was like two pieces stuck out to the side and like one in the back. But this is more like the modern-looking Fantasticar. It's kind of like a jet thing. So everybody climbs in. They start going after him. They catch up with Dr. Doom. Oh, no. First, Johnny looks at the front of the Fantasticar, and it says Dodge, and it's a Dodge Ram grill.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, this thing have a Hemi? And Mr. Fantastic goes, of course. This this will be brought to you by Dodge. I was like, wow, that was really horribly blatant. Yeah. They track down Dr. Doom, try to get him to stop. He says no, of course. The Fantasticar splits up, and they chase him to somewhere in Asia. So they're blowing up parts of the Great Wall. But they're each split into different cars.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an okay chase scene.
Yeah, it's fine. I actually enjoyed that.
Yeah, and there was one part where, like, the wall is coming down. It's going to hit Sue. And Mr. Fantastic stretches and pulls her ship out of the way.
Like it starts working for me here because they're not trying to add humor. They're just going for action.
Right.
And so it starts working for me.
Yeah, but it's also still lighthearted enough where it's not like, it's not completely dark, which I think is what happened with the freaking reboot. It was just too much. So they crash. I was not sure where. I thought it was in Tokyo, but I don't know.
Sure.
But Dr. Doom, or Silver Surfer and Sue, they're in the same piece of the Fantasticar. They crash. Dr. Doom goes to kill Silver Surfer with a spear so he can't take the board back.
Yeah.
And Invisible Woman jumps in front of it, in front of Silver Surfer to save him.
Mm-hmm.
But as we saw earlier, where the board went through her force field, the spear that he throws at him goes right through and skewers her. So she's on the ground, and everybody's kind of going to join her to make sure she's okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and Galactus is still approaching in his cloud form. They say they need to get Victor off the board, and they determine that individually they're not going to be able to do that. But if they put all of their powers if they work together, they can. And Johnny says, what if it was just one person with all the powers? So they all give their powers to Johnny to go after Dr. Doom. And it's actually kind of a cool scene. So all four powers working in tandem.
I liked that.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's like where Human Torch gets knocked back and he, you know, grabs onto the thing while he's still on fire and ricochets like slingshots himself back. Then Dr. Doom all of a sudden just like freezes and you realize it as he comes on... back to the visible light, he's wrapped him up.
Best
and he's
part of that is Chris Evans didn't get Jessica Alba's bad acting from
that. That was an incredibly lucky thing to have. Or her fake blue contacts.
Yeah.
Via her very bad contacts. So he kicks Dr. Doom's ass and breaks the control unit, releasing the board. So the board flies away. Dr. Doom falls into the ocean and sinks.
Yeah.
So that's the last we see him.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you see Reed holding Sue, and it looks like she's dead or very close to dying, and he's just losing it. Silver Surfer gets the board back and heals Sue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Reed's telling him, you have to get this out of here. You have to get Galactus away from us. So he flies away. And, you know, Reed's kind of like, it's too late. You know, this isn't going to work. It's we were too late. And Johnny's trying to help the Surfer along. He flies up into the Galactus cloud, Silver Surfer does, and you can kind of see Galactus, like that headpiece that I was talking about, the Jack Kirby design.
Yeah.
You can kind of see it in the fire.
In the fire, right.
And you hear him laugh at one point, because Silver Surfer is telling him, no, you know, go away.
So, suck it, fanboys. They did give you at least something.
Yeah, they kind of, It wasn't what you wanted, but it was something. Mm-hmm. It was a compromise in designs, probably. Mm-hmm. But basically, Silver Surfer builds up all his energy, and just it blasts out, and looks like it destroys that cloud, sending it away. It cut back to Earth. Everybody's alive, and Reed and Sue give up their plan to quit the team. They're saying, no, it's too important that we have to be together. And they say, what about raising a family? And they said, why couldn't you raise a family in this? And this is, you know, we're stronger together. This is the best place to be for a family. Which is really kind of the point of Fantastic Four. It's always been a family more than a team. Yeah. So they decide they're not going to be able to get married as a...
like a traditional...
Yeah,
like,
because it's because of all the press and everything. Yeah. So they do a quick marriage in Japan. It's... interrupted again by Venice sinking into the Adriatic.
Yeah, sure.
And this time, So this time, Invisible Woman is like, can we move this along? So they flew Brian Posehn all the way out to Japan.
Good for them.
Yeah, to be like, hey, can you hurry up and get this done? To keep it moving along.
They
and
get
so,
five meow meow beans for that.
Yeah, five meow meow. Meow meow meow. So they give him that. They decide, hey, we're going to rush. We got to get out of here and save the world. Invisible Woman throws the bouquet because she still wants to do that. And it's going right to Frankie Ray and Human Torch, who now we've established, you know, maybe likes her or whatever. He sets it on fire before it gets to her. And she just kind of stares at him with, oh, you, kind of a look. So they all jump in the Fantastic Car. And as they're taking off, they separate it, and they take the time to make the Fantastic Four logo in the air.
You know, hey.
While the people in Venice are dying.
The end. Credits.
And then there's a Stinger. Back when Stingers weren't at the end of the credits, and they were kind of like early, you see Silver Surfer floating in space, again, without very matte looking. But then the board kind of turns silver again. And flips over and flies right towards where he was, so you don't see him get on it again, but it goes towards him, so we can assume he's back and running.
There you go.
That's the end.
Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Deuced.
That's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of
absolutely.
It. So this guy is Jason M225, and he gave it a 10 out of 10, and he said, back in 2005, when I saw the original Fantastic Four, I thought it was going to be an amazing movie. Instead, I sat through 2 hours of a boring film. When I saw the trailer for Fantastic Four 2, no, Jason, it's called Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Anyway, I said to myself, here we go again. It isn't worth spending the money. But I decided to see the movie because I loved the comic book. After I walked out from seeing Fantastic Four 2, I was very happy knowing sometimes the sequel can be better than the original. With the return of Dr. Doom and the new character of the Silver Surfer gave the movie more momentum. Fantastic Four 2 followed the comic story of the Silver Surfer very well. Fantastic Four 2 was actually better than Spider-Man 3. That's a surprise. No, Jason, that's not a surprise. Anything's better.
Both of them, horrible dance moves in there.
Look, Howard the Duck is better than you know.
Whoa.
Spider-Man 3 is terrible. Okay, that's a surprise. With so many one-liners in the movie, it's good to know I can walk out of a movie theater with lines from movies that are not only memorable, but funny as well. By the way, don't leave the theater after the movie is over for a little surprise at the end. There's a little stinger for you.
How could you leave in that, like, 3 seconds before the next thing starts?
Don't leave. Okay.
Don't leave. Like, you were just like, well, I'm sure it turns out well. I'm out. And just, like, run out of the theater.
So this person is called Someone's Gotta Get Owned. And they gave it a 1 out of 10.
Damn.
And said, wow, what a piece of crap.
Turns out that someone is Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Someone got owned. Someone's got to get owned. I haven't laughed my way through an entire film in many years. This movie was so widely bad, it made my brain hurt. First of all, if you name a movie Rise of the Silver Surfer, put the Silver Surfer in the movie for longer than a subplot about a wedding. What?
What?
I know, right? And when you put him into the movie, make him cool. Instead of being a crybaby about his woman back on planet Krypton?
What
is he talking
what
about?
What are you talking about?
This guy,
that is the whole plot of
got,
Silver Surfer.
Someone's
got to
get owned. We're going to own you. Okay. Secondly, wow, Dr. Doom's vital information and for some reason from being in the movie is to tell the Fantastic Four that the surfboard is important to the surfer. Certainly this valuable information is concrete version to allow super villain to join the team. Thirdly, if Galactus is so tough, why does it take one guy on a surfboard to blow him up?
God,
no explanation spelled correctly, incorrectly, by the way, about what Galactus is or what he does. Apparently, he's just a dust cloud that can be destroyed if you fly up his butt and get real angry-like. Fourthly, the Fantastic Four ride, a flying dodge? Wow, spectacularly awful. Worst film I've seen over the years. Look, Someone's Gotta Get Owned. You are terrible. I'm sorry, that's probably the worst review I think we've ever read.
That review is freaking dumb.
You should get owned. Like, we're going to own you.
I'm sorry, he wasn't even paying attention to most of the movie then.
First of all, the Silver Surfer's not from Krypton.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's the thing. It's like, okay, he laughed through the whole thing. He was not paying attention. He was just talking shit and not, because, like, I'm sorry, they go into a little bit of that too.
I don't think this movie deserves that much hate.
No, that's fucking stupid.
I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna go through our five questions now.
So let's hit our five questions here real quick. So first question: in your opinion, what was the best part of the movie?
Go ahead.
You know, I thought the characters. Honestly, okay. Like, I mean, I know it's kind of broad. But, like, the Fantastic Four, even though they had these cheesy moments, and sometimes you were like, what was that line, or what was that stupid dance, or whatever, like, to me, those characters, like, the stuff they were doing on screen, I could see most of them doing in the comics. And especially the heroic parts, to me, I felt the comic, the nature of the comic in it.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was pretty good characterization. I felt Dr. Doom was way more schemey and evil in this movie, and it was much more in line with, like, what I'd expect from Dr. Doom.
Sure.
You know, the four Fantastic Four members, Alicia, everything. So
the best part was the Silver Surfer himself. Yeah. Not necessarily the character of the Silver Surfer, but, like, the who played the body? Because the voice
Doug Jones.
Okay. He did a really good job. Like, the physicality of the Silver Surfer was very well done.
Yes.
I thought that was
Doug
awesome.
Doug Jones is incomparable, man.
That was beyond great.
Yeah.
Not a crybaby, baby, someone's got to get owned review guy.
What was he crying? He didn't cry about shit. He didn't say anything. He wasn't crying.
Well, we got to hear all sides. So, you know, but he is a douche.
But Doug Jones.
But I like that. That was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah,
by far.
Doug Jones, he was Abe Sapien in the Hellboy movies. He was in Pan's Labyrinth. He was both the Fawn and, like, the... can't remember what they call it, but, like, the glutton creature. He's been in tons and tons and tons of things. He's a very physical actor.
Yeah. You can see it.
Yeah.
And, like, you could see the emotion that comes through Like, even the CGI of that, that was pretty good. I mean...
When he was matte like that, I think that was practical effect.
Oh, okay.
I think that was practical effect on him, because...
Yeah, whatever, that was my favorite part.
Yeah. When he was silver, it was computer. When he was all, like, matte finished, I think that was him in, like, latex.
Okay.
But he does that kind of stuff. He's just like, yeah, put me in makeup for hours so I can just do something wacky.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, it got rebooted,
which
was terrible.
Did. Oh, my God. That was...
Do we just not try this again? Do we not? Do we just let it go and say, hey, we've tried it. It doesn't work. People aren't grabbing onto something. What is it about this that's not working? Should we just keep it with a cartoon or what? Do you know what I mean?
I think... Okay, so... I said...
Now, are the comic books... They're done, right? They're not making any more of the Fantastic Four?
I think it's back on.
Okay.
I know they canceled it for a little while. They said they were ending it, but I thought they brought him back, but I haven't read it in a little while.
Okay.
But I think, like, the reboot, seriously, the reboot sucked. It sucked bad.
You watched it. I did.
Yeah, I watched it. I don't think that the individual actors who were in it, I didn't think were bad. But I think the problem was they seriously lacked that family aspect. They lacked heart. And that's, like, the biggest thing about Fantastic Four.
So do they try again, Jeremy? Do they try again?
I think they do. But I think they reboot it as a television series in, like, a 10-episode or, like, a limited run. I think they do. But I don't think they do it, like, on prime time or whatever. I think they tool it and regear it towards more of, like, a younger or family audience.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Instead of, like, your diehard fans. I think they market it more family-wise. And not, might I add, that show No Ordinary Family.
I was going to say that with Chiklis.
Yeah. No, because that was terrible.
Okay.
But it was on the right track, but, like, they just didn't feel like it coalesced quickly enough.
Yeah. No, I don't. No, don't try. I say you've already tried. People didn't grab onto these movies. I thought this movie was better than the first movie. I personally do. When I watched it, I was like, "This is a lot better." I feel like the plot was more fleshed out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to the first movie, but for some reason it didn't work. So they tried to reboot it. That was terrible. The director didn't like what they did to the movie or whatever. So he tried to take his name off it and trying to Alan Smithy it. I don't know. I think if you are going to do it, do it like you said.
Yeah.
Through a more family-friendly show.
Yeah. I think you have to. Would you watch it if they released it and gave, like, Marvel got the rights to it back?
Yeah.
Like, Disney? Because I think they could do it.
I think
honestly.
They could do it. If they do they keep the same actors from the reboot?
No.
Okay. They just recast the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although think about this. They maybe instead of doing it like this, maybe they do it like Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6 was a Marvel property.
Yeah.
That Disney did as one of their own movies instead. Like, they just borrowed it and kind of adapted it. Maybe they borrow and adapt it, and so it's not part of the same Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
But maybe it's a Disney movie where it has that family appeal. But, I mean, they already have The Incredibles under Pixar, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
Do they go that route?
Yeah.
Anyway, do you think this movie stands on its own?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said before, it is better than the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think by far. I don't think... I mean, it's not like it's not the greatest comic book movie, but it's not the worst comic book movie. There are a lot worse comic book movies out there.
Certainly,
including the Marvel Studio ones.
Yeah,
I think there's some in there that are real big stinkers, and I don't think that this one deserves to be under those.
Yeah,
That's just me.
Yeah, I think it mostly stands on its own. Yeah. I think there are some moments where,
there's some moments.
Like, I could get into, like, not understanding where the Fantastic Four got their powers from beforehand or things like that. I could get past that. It was I think it was mostly the shit with Doctor Doom that would have thrown me off if I didn't know what was happening. Like, why was Doctor Doom in a box? And why, you know, like, it was just kind of nonsensical with his stuff. But,
but
I feel like a lot of that got
shoehorned I can go along with it and go, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't see the first one. Okay.
I feel like... they wrote him in starting with the part where he showed up for the first time, like, looking, you know, back to normal. Mm-hmm. And somebody, where they're like, ah, you know, here I am. And somebody went, no, dude, Dr. Doom, like, got turned into a statue at the end of the first movie or whatever. And they went, oh, crap, how are we going to undo that? Yeah. So I feel like they went back and shoehorned people in, but...
I think it, for the most part, it stands.
Yeah, for the most part, I think it stands on its own.
Pretty good.
Does it make you want to watch the first one?
No.
No?
No.
It does a little bit for me, but I've also seen it like a gajillion times more than they used to show it like on FX all the time.
I would watch this over the first one.
Oh yeah, no.
If this was
one,
on, if it was the first one, I'd be like, I have some groceries I'm gonna go get, and then come back and maybe they're gonna play Rise of the Silver Surfer, and then I'd watch the second one.
No, this is far superior, but it still makes me want to watch.
It makes me want to like a more Silver Surfer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it makes me.
Yeah, might give you that. All right, and two words.
Oh, God, I forgot my two words. Go ahead.
I said family first.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say snoo sneaks. But
snoo sneaks.
Snoo sneaks.
Snoo sneaks
now.
Snoo sneaks to save the snoopy. Mine is snoo sneaks.
I say family first because I think that... And it kind of was relating here, too, that this, they are not just a team, they're a family, right? And I think that's what makes Fantastic Four good, as far as a comic goes, is because it's different than your other comics. It's always been a family.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll change the characters around and tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it always comes back to the original
four. My two words
are,
like, incorrigible teamwork. Do you know what I mean?
In
like
what?
Incorrigible teamwork. Okay. Like, they're a family, like you said. Like, some sort of, like, teamwork. Like, they're really good at that.
Yeah.
And that's what these characters are.
Yes.
That's what they'll always be. And that's what they should be.
Yep.
And you say, like, the reboot didn't do that very well?
In the reboot, it was more like they didn't have the family aspect.
Yeah.
And there was a part where, so after they have their transformation, they're all, like, in the lab and everything, and they're kind of hurting and trying to figure it out. Reed figures out how to escape, and then he just escapes and leaves them.
Oh, that's Whiplash right there.
Yeah, and so he's out long enough that they've all been trained by like the military.
Okay,
and so they're running like. Operations for the military.
Oh, no, I don't like
that. And then they find Reed, and he's
without
like...
Without him?
Oh. Yeah, and then he was like, hey, I was going to come back to find you. I promise. I was just trying to find a cure. And I was like, what is going
that
on?
That makes him seem like a dick.
Yeah. But they're all angry dicks.
Oh, no.
They're all angry dicks. There's no... for every time that we said, that was like a little cheesy, too humorous, whatever.
Yeah.
There is... a distinct lack of that shit in the reboot.
No, you have to have something.
There is no heart.
I think that
it's
the cheesiness that doesn't work in this movie just needed to be refined.
Yeah.
It just needed a little tweak
here
and there. And then I think it would have been better.
Yeah.
I think people would be like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a great one-liner.
Yeah.
But the one-liners they had,
the reboot was so grim.
They kind of fell flat, so the reboot was so
oh my gosh, it hurt so bad.
So we say watch this movie.
Yeah,
right?
Watch it. Definitely.
I give it one Silver Surfer board up. No, two. I give it two.
This movie is Norrin Rad.
Radical. Gnarly. So go ahead. We're winding down this episode.
Yep.
So if you want to check on our previous episodes, go to...
So you can find us on Facebook,
yep.
The Deuce. So we're on Facebook, so just join our group. You can also get us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can also get us at Google Play, iTunes. Trying to remember where Google
Play. We're everywhere.
And Stitcher.
Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher. But on Podbean, there's an RSS feed. So if you have a preferable way to listen to it, you can use that RSS feed and pull down the stream as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
We try to have new episodes every Sunday.
Yep.
Definitely watch out for those new episodes. We'll put them out there.
I'm going to give a challenge to our listeners. I want you to, on our Facebook page, to record yourself saying, Snoo sneaks away
to get to show with Snoo
sneaks from the Snoo
sneaks
snurfer.
to get to the Snoo sneaks.
Like, four times in a row.
What?
Four times. Say that. And then I'll pick the winner.
Or,
and you'll get nothing.
If you're artistic, I want to see a representation of Snoo sneaking to see the Snilver Snurfer.
Snoo sneaks to Snilver Snurfer.
What do you think Snoo looks like? And what do you think the Snilver Snurfer looks like? We would love to see that.
All right. You've been deuced. So goodbye.
Yep. Have a great day. And always remember,
the sequel is king. Thank you.